Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, 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 mic check, back in effect. Hey, that rhymed. Episode, this is 149?
Yes, 149.
We got a lot of goddamn episodes, dog. Episode 149, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. I'm cooling. I'm appreciating the fact that, our Sixers, our beloved Sixers, aren't going to drag me out into the second round to steal my heart. They just, they're going to go out with a nice limp exit in the first round, getting swept.
It's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Like, you just pull it off real fast.
Yeah. And, like, they're not going to crowd my sports session into, like, September when, like, football starts back up.
Right.
The Premier League starts back up in a couple of weeks. So I don't have to worry about them, like, being, oh, man, I got to make time for the Sixers, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They were enough to be like, fuck it, we're not even going to bother.
Right. Jesus. My fear is that after all of this, the process and this, potential and, us, almost beating the Raptors, That there's like my fear, all of this like hope that we've had over the past few years, my fear is that we're going back into another Sixers dark age because they could very well blow up this team.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got to start from ground zero.
Start the process
again.
All over again, baby.
Man. They're going to do like a part two?
Yeah.
What's the marketing game plan on the process part two? Y'all going to have like the little trust the process again, little t-shirts and shit?
TTP the sequel.
Man, look. Terrible. Fucking
just,
terrible.
Listen, just bring Sam Hinkie back.
Ooh.
We just rerun the whole thing.
What the fuck is Sam Hinkie doing right now?
Last I saw, from an interview, this was a couple of years ago, he was just, hanging out in Seattle and shit, and, reading.
Yeah. I pictured him, sitting by the window, and it's, raining a little bit. He's just reading. He owns a Starbucks somehow.
Probably. I mean, dude, they paid him, crazy money, so.
Right. Man.
Yeah, I'm I'm a little taken aback by that with the Sixers and a little sad because I was, excited for the Sixers to come back, basketball to come back as a whole.
Yeah.
And then my second team is the Blazers, and they're probably going to lose to the Lakers more than likely. And so, I really don't have another team to, root for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, once the Sixers are out of the conversation, for me, it's I'll have I love LeBron. I want LeBron to win. I want him to be successful. So generally, I'll root for LeBron. Wherever he's at over the past few years. But yeah, if the Sixers are out, I'm like, I can still enjoy it, but I'm generally, my heart's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's
I know.
Not in it the same.
I know, you're big enough of a LeBron fan. You legit was thinking about, growing your hair back in and letting it struggle like he does. You know what I mean? Just in solidarity.
Have, half a hairline in solidarity for LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nah, I'm interested. I'm going to watch, I'll watch, matchups that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I'll root against Jimmy Butler.
Fucking Jamie Foxx and booty call.
Yeah, he does look like Jamie Foxx booty call. I'll watch and I'll root against the Greek Freak and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'll root with I'll watch in anger and spite. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I fuck with Dame, so I might might ride that train. I don't know.
I want to see Portland do well, man. Portland's Philly West since Sheed was there anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I loved Brandon Roy. I'm so mad when his knees just betrayed him. And you know, I love Dame, CJ from Lehigh, like, you know what I mean? So
there's connections there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ambush, you know what I mean?
Shout out to Am, shout out to everybody
Morgan,
out there. Yeah,
the
more
whole team out there, yeah.
RFI Sophisticates, go listen to them, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, dog. I don't know, man. I'm hoping Dame and them take them to seven. So I at least could be like, yo, listen, y'all balls your heart out.
I gave him a run, yeah.
Yeah. But, yo, you know what it is, too? Like, I be watching them games, and I'm like, we don't got nobody like this, man. We don't got nobody who's just a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dame's a bucket. Like, every time he's got the ball, I'm like, oh, he's going to score.
Yeah, and you're not going to stop him.
Yeah, and, like, even as much as I love Embiid ain't that. Like, you know what I mean? And like, Ben ain't that. It's just like, Dame's a bucket. Like, Dame has the rock. I'm like, oh, he's going to score here.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I was watching this shit. Was it game? It was game three. Because game two, they got their ass whipped. So game three, the Sixers was close. I was telling you this. Like, they were close in the end of the game. And I'm just like, I don't trust nobody. I don't trust nobody on the floor that's going to get a bucket. Like, I just don't trust nobody.
Yeah.
And B is going to make a bad decision. And, like, what does he do? They throw it to him in the post, and he tries to get a foul called against Enes Kanter and, like, gets the ball blocked, and he falls on the ground. No foul call. And they go the other way, and next thing you know, it's like a flip of the score, and it's like,
yep.
This is why. This is why I don't have no fucking faith in this team, man.
Yeah.
So hard, dog. It's so fucking hard, man.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's not like this city hasn't been deprived. You know what I mean? The Eagles won a few years ago. You know, we still appreciate that shit. But, like, our droughts is nothing, you know, like Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But our droughts have been a little crazy.
I mean, Sixers ain't won since 83, dog. So
83, dog.
Essentially my whole life. Like,
Right. I have a very vague memory of that being a thing, like among my earliest memories, you know what I'm saying? And it's, I was working on, I wrote a hip hop timeline of the Sixers, you know what I mean?
So it was like different. So it was like the life cycle of the mascot hip hop, or
I definitely referenced the mascot hip hop, but I, you know, I had like the AI and Jadakiss commercial. Throwback Mitchell and S shit, you know, just like different little like hip hop and Sixers related intersections. Yeah. And I wrote about a Philly rap group called Galaxy 5 made a record in celebration of the Sixers winning the chip.
Yeah.
And it was fucking 1983. And I'm like researching this record and I'm like, dog, this is so long ago. We need this shit to turn itself around, but I don't see how it can at this point.
Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, listen, Brett's going to be out of here.
Yeah, and like, got to go.
You know, Brett ate shit for years. Excuse me. He had to eat shit for years, for real. Like, they, you know, they changed. The one year, he had like 37 different players on the roster or some shit like that. Like, some ridiculous shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, so he deserved another year after last year. He did. So, yeah, you couldn't just pull the chair out from under him.
Yeah.
But
might happen this year, though.
Nah. Yeah, like, dude, you were too much talent on this team and way too much money in this team to not be better than a fucking sixth seed. And, like, a large part of that falls on a coach not being able to figure out how to play these guys. Like, it just does. And,
yeah.
You know, part of that falls on the front office, and, you know, Elton might have to go too. And, you know, it is what it is, dog. Like, I can't help it. But, like, you got sometimes motherfuckers, sometimes heads got to roll, dog.
Yeah.
Sometimes heads got
to
roll.
They need to have, you know, me and you, like, in a buddy comedy type situation.
Yeah, run to
like,
yeah.
You know, John and Josh, we give y'all the keys to the organization.
Yes.
And we figure out a way to, you know, make it happen and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got a clipboard, you yelling at Embiid.
Yeah,
you know
it's like an underdog tale type thing. You know what I mean? Like, yo, they did it. Whoopi was coaching the Knicks.
She did.
So,
dog, 90s screenwriters, the cocaine was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Niggas was like, listen, it's the New York Knicks, but their coach is Whoopi Goldberg.
Dog, she was in another movie where she was like a partner with a dinosaur. as cops.
Right, right.
So like,
it's like a dino cop situation.
So listen, dog, like there was a lot, like I know the 80s gets filled with like, oh, yo, it's cocaine and Scarface was written on nothing but cocaine. Yo, the 90s wasn't straying far from that, dog. Yeah,
wasn't much better, dog. I just watched, I watched Joanna Man. terrible, unrealistic movie. Terrible.
No one noticed. No one noticed.
Nobody noticed. Until, mind you, this nigga was averaging like 50 points a game.
He didn't in a exist. Wig. He didn't exist in the world until he was on a WNBA team.
That shit, like, at one point, he like got a fast. He's on the fast break, and he like dunks the shit. I think the nigga shattered the backboard, and his wig fell off. And then everybody was like, "Oh, Joanna Man's there's man in her name." So yeah,
Joanna Man was in a long line of like, what's that 80s movie where the dude like blackfaces to get to college and shit? Like,
oh, it's like Soul Man.
Soul Man, yeah, like,
yeah,
it's along those lines of like, yo, like, we don't really have a we have this idea and we'll just build the whole movie around that.
Around it, yeah. Like, life is so much easier as a woman.
Yeah.
I want to be a black dude. It'll be so easy for me. Right? Really?
Yeah.
That's your premise?
Yeah.
Did you see, dog, I can't think of the name of this shit, but listen to Beck, like, you know what I'm talking about, where this guy is like a white dude who dresses up as a black woman to be a radio host?
Yes, I saw the trailer for it, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. It's like the white man's Joanna Man.
Yeah. Dog, I don't know where... Like, you would do that and think, like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Right. Oh, man. They got to let us write movies, dog.
Yeah, for real.
We got better ideas in the group chat.
Yes.
Than this shit.
Yes, definitely. Yo, I revisited something else, dog. Another, like, old school shit. So, Thundercats just got put up on Hulu.
Really? The old Thundercats?
Yes. First of all.
Man,
there's only two seasons. I was like, wow, I thought it was longer than that. I thought there was way more than that.
Didn't them shit seem mad long?
Yeah,
and
they
then
did.
You like revisit them later. It's like, oh, Animaniacs was like a season and a half or some shit.
Here's the thing though, dog. It's 63 episodes for like the fucking first season. I'm like, okay, wow. Well, yeah, that's why I felt like it was on forever. It's because a right. fucking season had 60 episodes in it.
They played that shit year round.
Yeah. What I realized, though, dog, in, like, you know, step back 2020 vision, Thundercats was colonizers, dog.
Ooh, explain.
So they landed on Third Earth, and, you know, Mum-Ra just there chilling, like, you know what I mean? It's his planet.
Wow.
And they come into the planet trying to take over, fighting with the natural inhabitants, you know what I mean?
And convince us that they're the good guys.
And convinced us they the good guys, yo.
It's like Israel-Palestine.
Thundercats is deep, man.
Yo, what?
Thundercats was deep, dog.
That's so crazy. I'm definitely watching that shit.
You know what else? I'm watching it, and I'm like, yo, Panthro's voice sounds wild familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and it's the granddad from The Cosby Show.
Right.
I didn't know that. And I'm just sitting there going like, yo, why does his voice sound so familiar? And I'm like, I guarantee you as soon as I see Bullface, I'm going to know where it's from. And I looked it up and was like, oh, shit, yeah, I know exactly where this is from. Like,
I think, didn't he pass a few years ago?
I think so, yeah.
I remember people putting up memes and saying that he was the guy Thundercats. And I didn't know. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, I heard it. I'm listening to his voice and I'm like, his voice sounds wild familiar.
Yeah. Look like he sounds like he's been joking around with Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Dog, I was like, I'm watching Thundercats, and be honest with you, a lot of these 80s cartoons are not good. Like, you go back and watch them again, you're like, wow, this is...
No.
A lot of this was done in your head. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of...
your imagination filled in.
It filled in a lot of the gaps, dog.
Yo.
Because there's, like, not much that happens in a lot of these. Like, I watched, like, four episodes, and I'm like, there's not much that happens in any of this.
Right. This nigga swing from trees.
I swore.
The sword gets bigger.
Yeah, I swore there was a lot more, like, shit going on in these cartoons. It's like, your head just kind of, like, fills in the action. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
wow, it just wasn't much going on, dog. Like,
oh man, I really I love Thundercats as a kid. I really want to watch this shit.
Go back and watch it, dog. Like, cancel all your plans and watch and watch 63 episodes.
Watch them all straight. Yeah, dog. If I still did drugs, I could 100% watch 60 Thundercats episodes now. Now, my attention span, that's crazy too, because when you're kids, they teach you like, yeah, drugs, they'll fuck up your attention span. Dog, I never had greater attention when like weed and like meditation were in my life heavy simultaneously. Now I don't really do either.
Yeah.
And my mind is like, it's like a monkey. I'm like all over the place.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Dog, I was watching like one of the like DC animated movies the other day. But what happened was I had took this nerve medicine for my back. They gave me this new medicine for the nerve issues with my back. And I took it and then I smoked right on top of it. And I forgot. Like I had smoked after taking it before and nothing happened. But it was normally like an hour, 2 hours in between taking it and then smoking. This time I had like popped it and like 15 minutes later, like was blowing. Dog, that shit. All of a sudden, I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I started freaking out. Like, I was like, yo, the TV is way too loud. Like, because it's all these explosions and shit going on.
Oh, shit.
And I'm just like, yo, dog, like, the cartoon turned into, like, real life on the TV screen for a few minutes and shit. I was like, what is going on, dog?
Yo. Oh, man.
I mean, it was really cool, like, when I was watching it.
I thought this was a cautionary tale.
Nah, man, do drugs, dog. Like, you know what I mean?
Yo.
Do lots of drugs, mix them all up. Like, you know what I mean?
That's the worst feeling when the shit is, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, that's what happened. It, like, then I started to, like, freak because I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And my head started doing the, like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what happened? Why am I this high this time? Because it's the same strain I've been smoking, so it's not like it was a different strain. Even like the same bag of stuff that I've smoked before. So it's not like, oh, this strain was just like, this bag was just like laced with something. It was literally like, and like I had it now in my head trying to do the math and I'm like, oh shit, I just took that nerve med. It must be like interacting really weird with this shit. I thought I heard my daughter like screaming upstairs and shit. And like, so I ran upstairs and I'm like, Nada, what's wrong? And she's like, she was like in her bed, like watching YouTube on her phone. Yeah. I'm like, she's like, nothing. What are you talking about? I said, why was you screaming then? And she was like, I wasn't screaming.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm really bugging out.
Yo, your eyes was probably mad bugged out.
I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like one of those commercials. Like, the PS, like, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing, Dad.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I was bugged out, dog. It was a rough night.
Holy shit, man. I ain't had one of them in a while.
Yeah, and I haven't.
God
like,
damn.
Excuse me. Most times it's just chill. Like, I smoke chill. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
This time, dog, it was a bad reaction, yo.
Shit.
But, yeah, I mean, good times, dog. Mixed drugs, do lots of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
We should probably hop out to a break.
You said what?
We should probably hop to a break.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's hop into a break and then come back in and chat about all the crazy stuff that's been happening.
Yes.
And about some movie stuff that we, you know, a couple documentaries that we watched.
Definitely.
This week.
Yeah, definitely.
Word. Boom. Right back at it. So yeah, it was interesting and definitely not a surprise to you and I, because we've talked about this and hashed it out, and our feelings probably haven't changed about it. But Meg Thee Stallion came out this week and essentially named Tory Lanez in like shooting her, and led me at least to believe. She was saying that he did it intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember there was a, you know, when it happened, people were like, you know, oh, was it a mistake? Or, you know, people get shot in the foot on accident all the motherfucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But according to her, what it seemed like from what she was saying on Instagram, is like, this motherfucker shot her on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like they got into an argument, or people were arguing in the car, and then like she was like, "Yo, I'm gonna get out." It got out, and like he just started shooting outside the car.
Yeah, I don't know how he gonna come back from this shit, dog.
Me neither. Me neither.
It's crazy because if you think about it, just 2 months ago, his profile with like that quarantine, he had the Johns like shaking their ass and shit on Instagram. His profile was dumb high.
Yep.
And, like, he was, like, people were, like, yeah, you know, we rocking with this dude. I said the list. I was, like, yo, when this quarantine shit is over, Tory Lanez going to be on, like, another level. Him and, like, his homie that was doing, like, the ad-libs and shit, they going to be able to do appearances everywhere.
Yeah.
Because that shit was so popular. But now, after this shit, I don't know, bro.
First of all, he's Canadian. So, this shit happened in the States, right?
Thought it was L.A. Yeah,
L.A., right? There's a good chance he can lose his fucking, his ability to come to the States.
Yeah. You ain't supposed to be shooting nobody in nobody else's country.
They tried to export Slick Rick, and trust me, Slick Rick's cultural impact is way more than Tory Lanez.
Right.
So, you know, they tried to deport fucking Slick. They can deport fucking Tory Lanez ass.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a chance that like he's not even able to come back to the States, at least on like a real basis.
Yeah,
man. Like, especially like y'all, you shot a woman for no reason other than you were angry at her.
Yeah. Like There's two sides of like how people have responded. Well, it's multiple sides of how people have responded to this. People are like, you know, well, why the fuck would he do that? That seems so crazy. But then I hear women say, like, why do men ever need a reason
to
be violent towards women? And even I like to think of myself, I like to think of myself as like a rational thinking person. But there's something in the back of my mind. It's like, nigga, why the fuck would you do that?
Yes.
Like, it seems so crazy. Like, somebody's arguing with you. Y'all are two of the, you know, most famous artists, you know what I mean, in y'all's particular lane. Why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, what would go through your head to think, like, yo, this is a good idea?
Yeah. I'm going to shoot Meg Thee Stallion today.
Yeah, like.
Like, what?
Why? Why would you go like, yo, this is a good idea. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fucking shoot Meg Thee Stallion because we're in an argument. Like, and I get, like, women are completely right. Like, men have been violent towards women for no reason for a very long time. So it's not like this is
the beginning.
Yeah, so it's not like this is some new thing. But, like, just why would that go through your fucking head at all, dog?
I need to know that this nigga was on like mad coke or something, or he was wetted up, or I gotta know something, or you're just a psycho, because that's like psychopath shit.
Yeah, and like I don't get it, dog. And like I know there's a lot of people talking about like, oh, why she snitch and say his name and shit like that, but it's like, fam, she was assaulted, like you know what I mean? She wasn't like if me and you go do a crime, me and you go rob a bank, right?
Uh huh.
I get caught. You don't. You get away scot-free. I go down to the station, and I start saying, like, John Morrison was with me. Mm-hmm. He lives at so-and-so-and-so. Go get him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then I snitched.
Yep. The literal definition.
If you are just a fucking, like, civilian, and you did nothing wrong in the situation, and you say, hey, this person shot me, you're not a snitch.
Right.
And, like, what I love, there was I've seen a lot of people online, like, especially on Twitter, being like, it's dudes, like, who've never done anything in their life. Right. And they're like, man, she snitches. Like
the nerdiest.
Yeah.
Niggas that used to have like the Dragon Ball Z button ups and shit. The nerdiest niggas. That's like, yo, man, you know the code. But that's that kind of stuff is kind of infiltrated to popular culture through rap music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That idea of like not being a snitch and holding it down. I do not trust the police.
No, not at all.
You know what I'm saying? At all. And I fully understand not talking to them. You know what I mean? They're not on our side with any of this shit.
Yes.
Homegirl got shot. She's like, she not about this fuck shit that y'all talking about.
No.
She was a victim of an assault with a deadly ass weapon.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? She got every right to be like, nah, this motherfucker did this to me.
Yeah.
But you can't take niggas' word. Niggas that be on Twitter saying shit like that, it'd be like the herbest niggas ever.
Yeah.
You can't take no or put any kind of stock in that.
Well, like I said, like I posted this shit the other day. It was like, yo, motherfuckers love Cam. Cam went on TV and was like, Jay-Z tried to have me murdered. Like, you know what I mean?
And then he said it in a song.
Yeah.
He's like, I know, I saw it when I was in D.C. through the domino. He said it in a song.
Like, no one calls Cam a snitch. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Nobody gave Cam shit like that. But I think also there's like a subtext to that. Women are expected to be the victims of violence.
And then keep their mouth. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, just like keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that's like the underlying subtext of this conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah. Men won't outright say it, but I feel like that's what's coloring the discussion is this expectation of women to like take violence.
Suffer in and silence. Just,
right. So absolutely. Suffer in silence. Yeah, absolutely.
The culture that we live in, whether it be patriarchy or white supremacy, like the people who are the subject of the oppression are expected to suffer in silence.
Yeah. You see how agitated white people get.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought, you know, a broader context to it. You see how agitated white people get when black people talk about the bad things that they do to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they get mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And men react the same way. Mm-hmm. Men have a emotional response to women talking about things that happen to them at the hands of men. I've had that happen where I'm reading the shit and it makes me feel a way. Mm-hmm. That shit's conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we need to understand that it's not okay to feel that way, but understand that that's natural at first to be like, yeah, but like, it's not me. Like, I don't do that. But it's like, yeah, no, it's not all. It's like dudes who go like, well, it's not all men that do this. It's like, yeah, no shit, it's not all men. But like, we're addressing men as a unit. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, as a demographic, we fucking up.
Yes. So I think it's important to look at it that way. But I did want to, talk about BET's Chronicles that they did. It's like documentaries, mm-hmm. For the No Limit and for Rough Riders.
Yeah,
I watched
two docuseries.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of the Rough Riders joint, and then like a clip of another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then watched the first episode of the No Limit one, and like a. It said episode 2, but it was only like 12 minutes long, so I don't think mm-hmm. it's the whole episode.
Little teaser.
Yeah. But I think they're like, you know, shout out to BET because both of these I think were done very, very well.
Yo, I said this earlier when we were watching the Rough Riders one. BET's content has been really good over the past few years. They did that New Edition movie.
Yes, that was really good.
Really good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is Unsung is BET? No, Unsung is TV One.
TV One, yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, BET has been like kicking ass with some of their content lately. You know, the award shows have gotten better.
Yeah.
They've been representing, and they really, these the Rough Riders and No Limit documentaries are really well done. You know, they look beautiful.
Yes.
They're well researched, they're really in depth. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
They're playing like Master P demo tapes and shit.
Yeah.
their team like really got busy on this show. I'm not trying to say it like I'm surprised,
yeah,
because these people are professionals. This is what they do. I'm just appreciative, mm-hmm, you know what I mean, that they did this shit. And you know, one, like you said, you know, I also watched the first episodes of each of these and the teasers of the episode two. DMX's story is out of control.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like,
he legit could have a biopic done about him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean,
somebody, I can't think of who it was. It was somebody on Twitter.
Bless you.
It was somebody on Twitter that said that DMX, you could write a book or make a film about his whole life story, and you could end it when he gets a record deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. Like, you could end it with the Def Jam sign. That's how, like, wild and chaotic his life story is. And it was ill to see him in, like, the Talking Head interviews, too. Yeah. Because he has so much self-awareness, mm-hmm, and so much emotional intelligence. Like, I was saying this to Liz earlier. A lot of times musicians can put all of that emotional intelligence into the music, and then you talk to them, and it's like, you know, why did you feel this way? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
The music is their medium. X put all of that emotional intelligence and vulnerability into his music. And him just talking about it, there was no drop off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was just as like emotionally articulate as he is in his music, which was like wild to see. I was like, this dude is like really tapped in with why he struggled the way that he struggled.
Yeah, I saw him in a different interview, not from this, but like he was just like, you know, I make songs because, like, you know, sometimes you want to feel in a shitty mood. Like, sometimes you feel bad and you want to fucking feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, there should be music for all that kind of shit.
Right.
And I think you definitely get that from him. You know, I think he's a super interesting figure.
Yeah.
And, like, they easily could have just fucking did his life story without the Rough Riders, the whole Rough Riders thing behind it. Like, you right. know what I mean? Because he really isn't, he's like in the second half of the first episode. Like, he's not even in like the full episode.
Yeah.
And you get,
it feels like a whole DMX film.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, both things were really, really done. Like you said, like some of that early masterpiece shit is great. Like, just to see a lot of that shit. They even get the, like, he talks about Pac being, like, bringing him on his first type tour shit.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. I don't think I knew that. I know neither. They knew each other. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they had toured.
Yeah. And, like, Jay Prince essentially, like, being his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teaching him, like, how to be an entrepreneur for real, in music.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I was never no big No Limit fan. Like, I mean, honestly, probably wasn't ever a No Limit fan at all. Right. I respected they hustle, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I respected the fact that they were like, you know, we gonna make this shit work.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there wasn't really, like, the doors weren't really open for a guy like him.
No.
And he, like, made it happen.
Yeah, I think, like, people really have to, I mean, like, everybody knows Cash Money because Lil Wayne became such a giant figure. Like, people who didn't see the rise of Cash Money for real, didn't see, like, Juvenile, and all that shit get to where it is. Like, they didn't see that rise. Cash Money was, like, already a figure at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, all those roads had to be paid. Like, that road to success has to be paid toward Master P. Like, their deal with Priority is what gave Cash Money the foundation for their deal with Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a fan of the music to respect the hustle and what they the road they paved, man. Like, all the success that Southern rap has had, a lot of it is due to, I mean, a lot of it is due to Jay Prince and the Ghetto Boys and shit like that. Like, no, and rap a lot. Like, that, a lot of that is due to them, too. And, like, they're the ones, you know, it's like what they say, like, geniuses stand on the shoulders of giants and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, and a lot of P's success is all, like, P's success is owed toward the groundbreaking shit of the Bay. Like, you know what I mean? Those dudes.
I'm glad you said that.
Like, E-40 and them dudes was platinum in the street a long time before they had any success.
Yep. Too Short.
Yeah, Too Short.
All of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love. Even, go ahead. I'm going to cut you off.
I was just going to say, even like the stuff like Quantum and Soul Sides were mm-hmm. doing, like Blackalicious and all of that.
Yes.
That whole Northern California thing was based around being independent.
Yes. Yeah, I loved seeing E-40's uncle or cousin, whatever, was his uncle, I think. Mm-hmm. Saint, what the hell was his name? Shit, I just watched it. I can't think of my man's name. He's fucking wavy as shit, dog. Even right. like as an older dude was wavy as shit. I love that. I loved seeing that shit and going like, this is good. Like, this is really well done. Where like they're pulling, like, it's easy to skip over shit like that.
Right. They went in like details.
Yes.
Tell.
Yeah, yeah. And like for nerds of like hip hop like we are, that shit is like, you know what I mean? That's candy, dog.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, because I feel like we had all of the, like, MTV behind the music.
Surface level shit. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that stuff was cool for the time, but now the wave is, like, really researching and really digging in. I mean, when Amazon did that Meek Mill documentary, mm-hmm. they hit me up.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? And was like, their research team hit me up and was like, yo, you know, what are some of the, like DVDs that Meek was on back in the day and all of that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I ain't gonna say I'm nobody, I'm God's child, you know what I mean? But I'm like, niggas don't know me like that, you know what I mean? They heard from another motherfucker that was like, oh, this guy knows Philly hip hop.
Yep.
So they're doing that in for their whoever my equivalent is in New Orleans or in the Bay. You know what I mean? Like, folks are really digging in and researching these projects. And it comes out, I think it comes out on screen, you can really see the attention to detail that they put into this stuff.
Yeah, I love the fact that, like, P was open enough and honest enough to not to be like, well, listen, I don't want to talk about, like, how we were, like, super unsuccessful when people weren't fucking with us. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of motherfuckers bravado-wise would be like, no, man, I can't have people think that we wasn't popping. You know what I mean? Like, he was, you know, they were talking like, yeah, dudes didn't fuck with him. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they thought he was a country bumpkin and he ain't really had no Cali sound and shit. Like, and it was like, yeah, that's real. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why he's been trying to be successful since like 89, 90 and just as get, you know, it wasn't until like the mid to late 90s was really starting to pop. It's because like it took years of getting that shit right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. This really reminded me that, you know, P kind of came out of that, like, 80s, you know, when hip-hop was really branching out to the mm-hmm. South. You know what I mean? He came out of that generation. Like,
yes.
At one point, his ex-wife was talking about the night that she met him in a club. And they were like, yeah, it was 83.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, 83? You know what I mean? You was in clubs in 83, but, you know, it just goes to show that this is a person who the industry didn't really have any space for.
Yes, he made space for himself.
He absolutely made space for himself, and it was cool to see. And then the Rough Riders did the same thing.
Yes.
In their own way.
Yeah,
and
I think
both of these documentaries show us how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you remember when, like, the Rough Riders hit, like, Puffy was the biggest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to have, and, like, even, like, Jay-Z was doing, you know what I mean, the Miami Vice cover and shit, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, Jay was doing the shiny suits as well. So, like, mm-hmm. You got fucking, you know, get at me, dog. That's like right. shot in black and white at the tunnel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like, there was a long time. I remember hearing stories of, like, well, they turned him down a bunch of times because they're like, yo, he's too hard. He's too mm-hmm. hard. And we can't, like, we can't market that. Because right. mid to late 90s was like, rap was like fucking blowing up. And they're like, mm-hmm. yo, well, we're not going to sign an artist who can't. I mean, you look at, I bring this record up a lot, and partially because it's like one of my favorite records, but you look at The Natural by Mike Geronimo
mm-hmm.
and like what the pivot was to the second record. Like, you know what I
right.
mean? The pivot was, yo, you need to be like fucking flossy and yeah. you need to be like shiny suited up. And
yeah. That was the era when like, a cat would drop his first one in like 95.
Yes.
But then maybe come back with the second one in 97, 98. And they would have OC did it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Jewels,
named the
Jewels,
album
whatever.
Jewels. Yeah. And then came with like the Jiggy first single. Now, Jewels, you listen to it now, it's like the hardest shit ever. With the exception of like one or two songs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But a lot of cats did that. Like the, you know, they like you said, they tried to reflect the sound and like the aesthetic of the time. X ain't have none of that.
Though you look at what's his name's AZ's second record. Mm-hmm. Like, remember they're like flying into a pristine beach on like the first
right.
single is like this really bubblegum poppy song. And it was because they were trying to like, you know, you need to cross. You need to yeah. cross over. We need you to cross over.
Yeah. Puff was killing it.
Yes.
At the time.
Yeah.
He was killing it.
And, you know, that's just a product of, like, no imagination in the industry. And not no imagination on the artist, but, like, the people who are running their careers are going, like, well, listen, we need you to be the, you know, we need you to be Biggie. We need you to have a hit mm-hmm. single. And, like, when,
yeah.
you know, that nobody goes, oh, no, we can't do that. But, like, D and Y were like, yo, DMX is who, like, we have a gem in DMX. We're not going to try and change who this dude is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worth mentioning, too. Reef brought this up. Shout out to Reef. The energy when Rough Riders really first hit, and I feel like it's kind of like a tidal wave, right? Like, it hits New York first, and then it, like, kind of spreads out.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, at the time when Rough Riders first hit, I don't know that there's been, I mean, the older cats can speak to, say, when Rapper's Delight first hit. Like, the older cats can talk about that. That's, like, a little before our time. I remember vividly when the Rough Riders hit, it was nothing like it.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers was about that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remembered cats, you know, when, like, they would come and perform at, like, Powerhouse or some shit. I remember cats, like, crowding up down there to, like, to try to rap for somebody.
Yo, yeah, 100%.
To get down with the Rough Riders, you know what I mean? And, like, the Bike Club shit was popping. That's still popping here, you know what I mean? But, like, it was, you would see cats, like, with, like, Rough Riders on their jacket,
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
every car was playing that shit. It was crazy.
I think bike culture here in Philly, being what it is, really accentuated that, right?
Right.
So
right.
that, like, put that shit on a million, because bike culture was already what it was here. Like, you know what I mean? And then to have that, you know, you got Rough Riders Anthem and they dudes is on their four-wheelers and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, yo, this is what life is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this shit hit. Like, dog, I remember when Get At Me, Dog hit and then, like, Rough Riders Anthem hit like the beginning of the summer and
rocked that whole summer.
Yeah, dog, like you be on Fifth Street and like every car had that shit. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So yeah, that shit hit like you said, like a wave. That shit like crested, dog. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
They were huge. Like, they, Rough Riders, and like, I remember when Rough Riders and Rockefeller went on tour together, and like,
crazy.
I mean, you'll never get something like that again.
Yeah, the two biggest. You really don't even have big crews anymore.
No, not at all.
But like the two biggest crews being like, all right, let's go. Because even Bad Boy at the time was trending down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the time, it was Rockefeller and the Rough Riders. Them getting together and hitting the road. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see that ever.
Nah, it was an insane time, and I'm really looking forward to watching how both things play out, both Chronicles play out, because I mean they haven't even got to like the crescendo of any, like these are done so well, neither of them has been like have reached the crescendo yet, and right. Like you're already like, yo, these both are amazing, like you know what I mean?
Yeah, they haven't even. I noticed. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. I watched that whole episode and I was like, damn, Swiss ain't even show up yet.
Nah, he didn't. Nah.
They had Dame Grease there. Yes. Dame Grease was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Irv, like, because Irv had produced some of X's early stuff. I was like, Swiss ain't even show up yet.
Yeah.
That's how you know this shit is well done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be so easy to jump from, like, yo, we found DMX, like, outside of a fucking housing project or whatever. And, like, so next thing you know, we in the studio making this dark and hell is hot. Like, it's so easy to jump to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, find a way to squeeze it. Like, we were in the studio making this dark and hell is hot. And then we took him to go battle Jay-Z at a pool hall. Like, it's so easy to, like, because, you know, if you don't know the timeline, you're like, okay, I guess that lines up. Like, you know what I mean? How the fuck do I know? You know what I mean? It's so easy to do that. And they didn't. And they didn't take the cheap way out. That you see a lot of things do that. A lot of things make this cheap like jump that they didn't do. They're like really digging in, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hop out into our final break and then come back and talk about some new music.
Yep.
Word. Boom, right back at it. So yeah, you know, just straight up and down, you know, one of the greatest of all time, my man Nasir Jones blessed us with a new album. It's called King's Disease.
So he basically named his album Gout.
Gout. Is that what King's Disease is? Like, yes. The Kings get, because they were like sitting around and not doing any work
and eating like seafood and shit like that, that gives you gout. Yeah,
wow.
They had like the best, you know what I mean? They got the best food, so like, and it's and like the acid or whatever in it like gives you gout.
Yeah. Jesus, now I'm never eating a fish ever again.
Nah, but fish is terrible for you, dog. Don't do it.
It's you know, I'm a little bit weary of like when Nas releases records, because social media is always dumb about Nas conversations. He's held to, I would say, arguably the most unrealistic standard ever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. As far as an MC or an artist in hip hop, people are almost never pleased. I think people come into it not wanting to be pleased, you know. But for me, I thought the album was solid. I think it's a solid, you know, this is a guy in his 40s who's been making records since we were kids. I think it's a solid entry into his discography. It didn't really like, I didn't think he embarrassed himself on this shit.
Nah.
I think he's getting busy on the mic. I think he's getting busy on a lot of this shit, for real.
I think it suffers from a lot of the same things that a lot of Nas records suffer from, which is like sketchy production on some stuff, like sketchy beat selection. You know, some question, like there's a lot of lyrics about like how women don't like, you know, they don't hold up, they end of the bargain, and you know, women could be doing this, and it's just like, women let me down, and it's just like, I think, you know, and listen, man, you working through some personal issues or whatever, like, cool, but like, he's done that, like, the last three albums have had a decent amount of that on there. And, you know, but, you know, he's still a super nice MC when he's at his peak, he's super nice.
Yeah. He digs in is certain moments in his shit where he's really going in.
Yeah. I think it's a good record. It's not great. But like, again, like I said this to somebody the other night, the other day, like at 12:01, people were calling it a classic or calling it trash. And it's like, dude, you can't do that when the album literally just dropped. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
And I know y'all niggas ain't getting no advance because I couldn't get an advance for NPR. Yeah,
exactly. And you work in this industry. So
yeah, so I know they told me at the top of this week, they was like, he's not sending out no advance. So I know y'all motherfuckers ain't hear that shit before the rest of us.
Because, you know, this isn't like 98 and you can't go to like, you know, the spot on Alney and get you an early copy. Like that's
the
not
early
how it works.
Joint. Yeah. Nah.
This is so cat, like I and also it's like, you know, I think a lot of people look back and go, like Illmatic was classic and everybody knew instantly, and it's like I don't know if that's true. Like,
right, there was a buzz,
yeah,
and people were saying he was gonna be the guy. I think that the five mics always helps. But we don't have, the source was trusted then.
Yes.
You know, what's the trusted outlet now?
Serious Rap Shit?
Come on. You know what I'm saying? And we not giving nobody classics off the bat.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
No.
But like, you don't, like what? Pitchfork's going to give it a 10. Some nigga named Chad is telling you, oh, this is five mics. Man, they ain't like the source and the Mind Squad telling niggas it was five mics back in the day.
No, and them
you
dudes
could trust that shit.
Like, and I respect enough of the Mind Squad that they were not like, yo, we listened to it one time and it's a classic record. Like, they sat with it and listened to it over and over and over again and had a respect and understanding of the history of the culture to be like, yo, this is a classic record.
Right. Dog, a motherfucker, this was maybe like last year. And every time like Illmatic or It Was Written, especially It Was Written, when the It Was Written anniversary comes up, cats are like, cats want to come out with the take that It Was Written is better than Illmatic. Whatever, like that's your taste. But I'm talking to somebody and they were like, It Was Written is better than Illmatic, da 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 da. And as we get into the conversation, it was revealed that this person, I wasn't listening to rap when Illmatic came out.
Then your opinion is invalid.
you don't understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go and argue with some motherfucker who saw Jimi Hendrix. You know what I mean? But, you know, and it's crazy to me that Nas, he always has to kind of answer to the music that he's made in the past. This record, so he comes in, I'm going to find it, I wrote it down, because I'm bad with titles of shit. So the first three songs on this record, Blue Benz, I'm going to skip over the intro, right, Car 85 with Charlie Wilson and Ultra Black. I don't remember Nas ever coming out the gate in recent years with that strong of a three-song opening sequence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's, like, spitting on it. The production is dope. I think that, you know, the sequencing could have been different, but whatever. That's, like, nitpicky stuff. But, yeah, he kills this shit. And AZ, you know, shout out to AZ. They did the Firm.
The Visualizer, you know, dog.
Come on. They did the Firm reunion joint. AZ smokes it. Nas, you know, had a dope verse. Cormega, I am not a Cormega fan. Cormega's verse was really dope and like heartfelt. The only one I didn't really like, I didn't love the uncredited Dre at the at the end of it.
It is. I saw that it was credited to him on title. It is like additional vocals by, but on the record it is not credited. Yeah.
Right. And the Foxy joint, because I felt like Foxy, I felt like Cormega gave like a really like heartfelt verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AZ is spitting some fly shit. Nas is spitting some fly shit, but also like his incel shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is like Nas' incel record for real.
Yeah,
for real.
It is.
But Foxy came on some like, you know, top five, dead or alive. I just didn't feel like it matched the energy.
Yeah. I'll say this though. Gotta give it to Fox because at one point she did like lose her hearing and like
crazy. Yeah.
To even be able to like come back and have any kind of, I know she still suffers from issues with her hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So like to have any kind of rhythm, it's really hard if you can't actually hear and hear clearly.
She flowing on the motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't like the content of it. It felt
exactly.
like she was like, oh, I'm gonna be on Nas' record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk my shit. Whereas I didn't feel like it fit in with what everybody else was doing.
Yeah. And I also wonder, like, you know, how much is she even writing anymore? Like, I know AZ's still, like, working on projects. And, mm-hmm. like, Cormega still releases probably, like, independent shit all the time.
Yeah.
How much is Foxy really still, like, even making the pen work? As much as she even was in the first place when, like, you know, Jay-Z knowing, you know, everybody knows Jay wrote for her, Nas wrote mm-hmm. for her. Her brother was writing for her. So, shit, shout out to Vega. Vega has a writing credit on China Doll. Like, you know what I mean? So there's maybe that issue too, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, is it his best record? Obviously not. Yeah. And it sucks. Like, I would say this, man. If everybody came to us and was like, yo, man, like, y'all first episode, fucking amazing.
Right.
You know, all the other joints after that are cool, but, like, it'll never live up to that first episode. That's what Nas essentially has to face every time he releases a record.
Yeah. We talked about it on the podcast a few months back. Nas was like, yo, I'm good on celebrating Illmatic.
Yeah.
I don't fucking blame him.
No, exactly.
I don't blame him.
No, and especially because it's not like it was his only record, really. Like, it's one thing if it's like, yo, like, we're so-and-so band, like, Chumbawamba mm-hmm. is like, yeah, you know, oh, I get knocked down, we're going to celebrate that every time. Like, you know what I mean?
Like the Fugees who didn't get to do, you know, a third one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
Nas,
yeah.
Nas been out here, right?
Yes.
His catalog, Hov has a stronger catalog. He's mm-hmm. had a stronger run, all of that. Nas, when it's all said and done, the playlist you're going to be able to put together of great Nas songs is going to be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably going to be next to Hov and then, you know, maybe somebody like Drake. It's probably going to be unrivaled mm-hmm. in the genre. You know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day, when Nas is on, he's one of the greatest artists who's ever done it, no question.
Absolutely.
Like, Ultra Black is a fucking amazing song.
He flowing on that shit.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Nas, because I felt like when the college shit, Nas mm-hmm. album done, I felt like I still to this day hold the opinion that somebody like changed the beat under a verse that he recorded.
Yeah.
There's no way Nas was off beat like that.
Mm-hmm.
That don't even make sense. Nas is in pocket all through this record. Presence is there. The joint he got with Ferg, I like a lot. You know what I mean?
Yes, I like that song a lot. Yeah,
he's doing his thing, and he's in different. They putting him in different production mm-hmm. styles. You know what I mean? He's getting busy all over this shit. You know, divorced from, you know, the incel stuff, which I didn't love, and the, you know, oh, women fucked me over thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't love that shit. But divorced from that and from the weight of his history and his back catalog, this is a solid fucking record.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad in any sense of the imagination. Like I said, it's not my favorite record from him. It probably falls in somewhere after, like, Life is Good. And mm-hmm. And see, part of the problem, too, is, like, I Am would be a higher rank for me if it didn't have such, like, late 90s production shit.
Yeah,
and like
dated production.
Yeah, the dated production is really bad on that record. Where I think this production may hold up a lot longer.
Right.
While I don't love every beat, it's like quality of like production is a little is different.
Yeah.
But I really like it. Speaking of Jay-Z, he released a new single with Pharrell.
Entrepreneur.
I really ain't like this record.
I didn't love it at all.
Yeah,
I didn't love it at all. No.
I heard the video makes it a little better as far as like contextually. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I just kind of, I like, it's not a good Pharrell record to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay-Z doesn't add to it. Like, yeah. It kind of felt like flat all the way around.
It's really bland to me.
Yeah.
The video is cool. The video is cool and uplifting.
Uh-huh.
But the song itself, nah.
Yeah, and maybe partially because I'm just so, like, super anti-capitalist right now. The idea of, like, just, like, more capitalism. Like, you know what I mean? It feels weird. But I think it just doesn't, you know. And I love Jay, and Jay's a super capitalist. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I love Jay records. So it's not like I'm like, yo, I can't listen to no capitalist records. Like, I want nothing but the coupe. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, this is just, like you said, it's just kind of bland and, like, nothing, like, spicy about it. It just don't even knock, really.
Right. Give me some shit. If you gonna give me, you know, y'all are giving me like uplifting capitalist music. Y'all gonna give me some like Get Money shit. Give me some like Royal Flush or Purple Tape. Some like fly shit. I don't know, man. It's like background music.
Yeah, yeah.
Elevator music. Luxury elevator music.
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels. And maybe it'll grow on me. I don't know. But, like, I listened to it, and I was just like, I'm good. I don't need to listen to this. I don't need to listen to this again. Also, Vic Mensa dropped the tape, V-Tape.
Mm.
It's really good.
Word.
Really personal. He like sounds like he's about to cry on a record.
Really?
Yeah, he talks about his depression, and like he's like, dude, I was in my crib, found a book from when I was 5 years old where I wrote in it that I wanted to die.
Oh wow.
And like he's like he's really, really personal and like, you know, a lot of people talk about, like, yo, I bled on this track. I bled on this album. He bleeds on this joint.
Mm.
Production's really tight on it. And he's, you know, Vic Mensa is, like, not the greatest lyricist in the world or anything like that. But, like, he's really good in it. Really good on this. Really open.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, for the like, that's what always made Pac. Like, Pac was never, like, the greatest lyricist in the world or any of that, right?
Yeah.
But what made Pac so endearing to people is that he was open and honest about stuff.
Yeah, he gave you that feeling.
Yes. I think when MCs... I mean, that's the thing, you know, speaking earlier about DMX. Like, DMX is never like, yo, he's the greatest fucking MC who's ever picked up a mic. No one would ever really make that argument, at least not legitly.
Yeah.
But... X was raw and gave it to you. You know what I mean? And was honest and open and fucking vulnerable. And this Vic Mensa record, V-Tape, is super vulnerable, yo.
Wow. I'm going to check that shit out. I haven't heard it yet.
I think you would really enjoy it because of, like, it's just different than, like, what you, like, a lot of people give you. You know what I mean? It's fucking a vulnerable record, and a lot of people don't have faith in themselves to do that.
Right.
So I definitely say check that out. V-Tape, I think, is really good. I would say check that out for anybody out there. We can start rapping. You can find us at Serious Rap Shit on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Indy_SRS. That's Indy_SRS on Instagram and Twitter. You're John the Liberator on Instagram and Twitter.
Word.
We have the Abolish ICE hoodies and t-shirts through Incest Trap and Yoga. You can get it in our link in our Instagram bio because we have a link tree now. Or you could just go to Incense Trap and Yoga and get it there. And money, part of the proceeds, go toward helping families separated at the border, migrant families. And also, it's supporting a black woman's business. So, mm-hmm. you know, you get a good, you get it going all the way around. Oh, we have a YouTube channel that you can go like and subscribe. We post playlists every week. To go along with the to like go accompany the episode. We do other videos up there. There's a Sixers hype video, but who the fuck wants to watch that now? Sixers, yeah. The Sixers ruin everything, dog. Right. But other than that, yo, we'll be back next week.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.